Intervju Radija Študent.
Zdravo, Termino, za Ereš intervju. Tokrat gostimo Twig Bird, dvojec, bratska naveza, ki danes večer nastopi po menzi pri koritu. Pred njima bo še torej glasbo vrtel Jahač Bigor, Jahač plošč Bigor. Vrata se odprejo ob 9:00, Twig Bird ne bi nastopilo ob 10:00. Zdaj pa kar pozdravljam Caleba in pa Ashtona. Hello guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming to our studio.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Last night you played a show in Northern Italy. Before that, a couple of shows in Switzerland. And before that, Netherlands. How's the tour going so far?
I think it's our best trip over here yet.
Yeah, it's going really, really well. We've been having a lot of fun and having good turnouts at the shows and partying a lot, so it's good.
You said it's probably your best tour so far. What makes it the best tour?
Just overall vibes, I think, you know. We have a couple of good dudes traveling with us, good friends, good vibes at the shows and good turnouts, and I think we're playing a little bit better. So it's always good to, you know,
to have a bit of experience.
Yeah, sure.
You've done a couple, or maybe more than a couple, European tours so far. Is there a place in particular where you like to go back to?
I'm here.
Yeah.
In Ljubljana.
This is definitely one of them, for sure.
Yeah, this is probably like the one place that I talk about the most, especially in the States and stuff with my friends that are in bands there. Mm-hmm. I think that and this is just such an awesome place that people need to come check it out.
What makes it so special?
I don't know. I mean, the first time we played here, we showed up and honestly I was kind of like, well, this place is pretty crazy. I've never been to a place like this.
Oh, you mean the Metelkova, the city
yeah, in general. And we showed up the night before our first performance, and we had a saxophone player at the time, walked to the venue, and we were both kind of like scared, honestly, because there was just tons of people around and it was very late at night, and we were both kind of freaked out. We didn't know what the show would be like. And then of course the next day we showed up to play a wonderful show and people were there and we had lots of fun and everyone's been so nice to us, and you know, and then we've gotten to walk around and see that it's, you know, kind of beautiful too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. Yeah, last time you played here was something over a year ago, and you know, when a colleague talked to you at that time, you said you remember the first time because of the experience at the border, because of some sniffer dogs and vignette, you know, the road tags and stuff like that. So if I ask you now, what do you remember the last show you were here for? Was there some event that you particularly remember apart from, you know, sightseeing? And
I'm definitely the worst person to ask this question to, because I don't remember what happened yesterday even. But we had this conversation on the way here about which show was our last show here.
Oh, and although we can't quite remember, I think we spent the majority of the time last time going up to see that castle and riding that. It was also, we're becoming tourists now. We're not so cool anymore.
Well, that's part of touring, I guess. You know, one thing I noticed is that usually you tour in Europe during winter. Why is that? You know, is it summer more better for writing and recording music and winter for touring? Is there a particular reason behind that?
I don't know why we do it. We just kind of have an agent that says, you guys want to come over? And we say, yeah.
And you always say, either in the fall, November, December, or in January.
Yeah, now, I mean, right now he's saying, yeah, if you guys, I have some things lined up for the summer if you want to come back. And we're like, yeah, okay. So we don't think much about it, I guess.
Yeah, I think just as far as our schedules go, you know, and trying to tour in the U.S. and simultaneously plan tours to come over here, it's just kind of hard to schedule it. And we love getting cold and wet all the time.
And that goes with the music, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe you get wet anyway, either you play in the summer or...
Maybe
what's the best part of playing live? And what's the best part of recording music?
Man, I mean, for me, the best part of it all is the playing live. You know, that's where you get to, I don't know, I mean, as for us as songwriters, I think we write, you know, we write an idea for a good song or what we think is a good song, you know. We'll let other people decide. But when, you know, that it's all about, okay, there's the idea, that's the building block, you know. Maybe something like a jazz musician might say, hey, we're going to play in this key or this scale, and then we go for it. Well, we write, you know, a song and kind of say, here's the idea, now let's, you know, on the stage and on tours where you get to really, like, see it develop and grow into something different, you know?
I think the coolest part about playing live is just that it's not recorded and you can make it sound however you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we've been, some of these songs we wrote, like, 6 years ago now or something, like, when we first started playing as a two-piece band, and...
But they're like, still changing.
Yeah, man, like, they got so boring, so then we stopped playing them, and then, like, a year later, we were like, well, that was a good song. Maybe we should just, like, grow it, you know what I mean? And, and that's, like, absolutely the best part for me, is to grow a song live every night and for it to take a completely different shape. And
Maybe we'll come back to you playing live a bit later. So one more question about this past year for Tweek Bird. What was it like? Some highlights, maybe, you know, since the last time you were here?
Well, just in the fall, in October, we did a 6-week tour with the Melvins in the States. That was definitely big for us. Those guys are really nice, and, you know, their fans are, they're real music lovers. You know, they really appreciate, you know, they're not just there to kind of get wasted and you know, fall apart on the floor, you know what I mean?
Can you tell a difference between the fans of Melvins and your fans? You say that they are really enthusiastic.
Yeah, they have more
about
of them.
Music.
they have more. That's the big difference there.
I think our fans are similar. I think our fans are inherently Melvins fans. I think the people that like our band are the people that like music and aren't trying to find something cool to listen to. They're just kind of listening to whatever happens, you know?
You know, Melvins are a highly regarded band here as well. So, you just said it was a nice experience. And usually when they play here, it's for a crowd of, let's say, about 500. How popular are they in the States?
Which state?
Which state?
Oh, it depends.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, it's crazy, you know? It can be... they could play to five times that, or they, you know, to thousands of people all night, three nights in Austin and three nights in some, sold out every night. Or then, you know, like this tour that we just did with them was their trying to do a Guinness Book of World Records tour. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but so they wanted to play in all of the 50 states in 50 days.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they were, and then eventually you realize that there are states that bands don't play in, you know, like,
like
Mississippi
ever.
Or Delaware, or like there's these places that we've never played. They hadn't played since the 80s or since the or early 90s. And so there are some places where, yeah, they're
so the small. Guinness Book record didn't hold.
No, they did it.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
it?
They'll be in the book. So
how many the shows did you do with them?
We did 46 of the 50. Yeah,
nice. You know, they seem to be in a position where they can, they sort of made a very nice position for themselves. You know, they're on one hand they're really popular, but on the other hand they're allowed to really do what they want. You know, because at some point when a band grows really big, you have to meet certain expectations from the crowd, from the music industry. But on the other hand, Melvins seem to be really free to do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we were really inspired by, just getting in, like being able to talk to them, you know, about kind of how they go about it. Yeah, they really, you know, they don't rely on any sort of label or media push to kind of keep them going. Like, they're just insanely hard workers and very productive. They're always making records and releasing them in however creative ways they can do it, just to, you know, keep, you know, they employ themselves. They make it happen for themselves, all of it. So it's really cool.
Perhaps a comparison, you also toured with Tool.
Yes.
Who are, in my opinion, even more popular or widely known band. Can you maybe compare the two bands?
That was...
What's the experience different, you know, with one and the other band? Probably, as far as the venue goes, bigger venues with Tool.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, that venue size was kind of night and day. I mean, on the Tool tour, we, I think the smallest show we played was to, like, 6,000 people. And so that was, I mean, that's pretty giant. But as far as guys, as far as people go, strangely similar. They kind of both have the same mentality, I think, you know, where although I don't think they're in this exact same spot, obviously, you know what I mean? Like, Tool has done other stuff, but I don't know. They're all kind of like good guys that just want to play music and don't want anyone else to tell them how they should do it, you know, which is kind of awesome.
It's cool. But yeah, I mean, Melvin's tour with like four or five guys, you know, techs and sound men and things like that. And Tool obviously tours with like four or five departments of, you know, people.
Like buses and trucks and stadiums.
Techs, riggers, lasers, management, you know, catering, all of it is, you know. But, you know, you talk to the guys in the band and, you know, it's like they know everybody there by their first name and, like, you know, they're just hanging out like regular people. So it's cool.
What was this experience, both experiences for you, like doing shows on these big stages? Because somehow it seems your music is more suited for smaller venues, clubs, in my opinion. How did you find yourself on a big stage?
Freaking out.
We freaked out for a while, and then we just kind of embraced the fear, I think, and then got over it. And then it's really cool to actually hear your drums and your guitar in a giant arena with 18,000 people or
something.
Sounds
massive. Yeah. And so much fun to play, but also it's better. I think it's more energetic to be in a place where 100, maybe 200 people are crammed in and, like, there's energy that you can feel from the people that are watching you. That's, like, the only thing I don't like about playing in big places is not being able to... You can watch people dance, but you can't feel their energy. You know what I mean? It's just different.
Yeah, separation. Yeah.
More difficult to connect with people.
Totally.
Do guys still both live in L.A.?
No. I've lived in L.A. for a while. Ashton recently moved back to L.A. from Illinois.
You're back in Illinois?
He was in Illinois.
I moved back, but I'm back in California now.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is one thing that interests me. It seems that most good rock bands either start or at some point move to Western Coast, West Coast. Why is that? Is it because of tradition of guitar music?
The weather's great. Marijuana's legal in California and Arizona. Not condoning or anyway.
But I would say that, man, as far as the U.S. goes, I mean, the West Coast is really mellow. Everybody's relaxed. People are more accepting of people that have long hair or like weird hair or tattoos or whatever. Like if you're in the Midwest or where we grew up, I mean, people would still call you names. Like, I don't know what names I can say on student radio, but it's like
you can say anything.
But it's like just kind of crazy to walk down the street as a kid that's like 15 years old and, you know, get called something stupid just for being in a band or wearing a black t-shirt or like, it made me mad then, you know. And I think once you stop being mad at the system and stop like trying to fight against it, you just want to find other people who are like you. And I think there's a lot of them on the West Coast. There's a lot of them. And there's like a good business hub too. We met the Melvins and Tool there. So
so you mainly moved there for music or because of
all? There, yeah, because we have an older brother who's, you know, not really musical or anything, but he was already out there. And so when you kind of come from a place from nowhere, you know, it's farmland, just tiny village, you would call it, you know. You're just kind of looking at where do we have an opportunity to go, and he's like, well, come on here and, you know, check it out. So that's why.
You just recently released a new record, Undercover Crops. Can you recorded it with, you know, again with the help of Toshi Kasai, but this time without Dale Crower. Was he busy with other projects, or did you just learn to do things, more things by yourself?
We had, we decided to record the album, like, 2 weeks before we recorded it. So this, there was pretty much just a scheduling problem. Because we wanted to have it, basically we found out that we had all the material, we had the songs, but we weren't planning on recording it yet. But then when Melvin's offered us the tour in October, we're like, we have to have a new, we gotta do this right now.
Let's get these out.
So we immediately tried to figure out when it would have to be done and when it would. So it's like, okay, we have that one weekend, and Dale's like, I'm playing in New York that weekend. Or something. You know, it's like,
You know, in the opening song, Moans, you chant, everyone is paranoid. So what are we paranoid about? Is one of those things maybe that you're being judged if you have long hair, like you said earlier? Or
yeah, we were. I think it's a reverse paranoia kind of a thing. I think the two of us kind of, you know, when you're brothers and you grow up in this kind of world where we've experienced, you know, like we kind of see the world similarly since we were, you know, 5-6 years old all the way up until now. So, you know, we know when he sees something that's different or interesting or, you know, gives him anxiety, like he knows that I'm affected similarly, you know. And just kind of being out and seeing all new things, it's like, it's really great. And at the same time, you know, you have to try to, you know.
I like to think of it more as like a reminder to me, because I'm so paranoid about people all the time.
Yeah.
I think that, and then I think, like, I watched this performance, like, not that long ago of Roger Waters doing The Wall. Mm-hmm. And it was this really great experience. But in the middle of it, he added this song about paranoia. And he is pretty much like freaking me out, and I'm like, oh, sinking down into my seat, so afraid of how paranoid he's making me. And it just made me realize, like, everybody is paranoid, seriously, about something, you know? Or at least that's what I like to think. It makes me feel not so alone.
Cool. Where did you see Roger?
It was at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. I got a free ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Nice. Were there any other concerts that really caught your attention lately, apart from maybe Melvins and Roger Waters? You probably, in the past years, you did lots of tours and played at many festivals.
Yeah.
So I imagined you get the chance, you know, to see really cool bands.
I think musically it's kind of a smaller show that I really enjoyed was, it was Phil Manley's Life Coach. Phil is from the band Trans Am. Mm-hmm. And he just started this kind of two-piece, I don't know if you'd call it, it's kind of crowd but noise or whatever, but he picked up this drummer, John, who used to play for Mars Volta, and the two of them together is just amazing. So for somebody who kind of, you know, does something similar, like, it was really amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trans Am are quite popular here as well.
Yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
Mars
great.
Volta also. So
yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll get a chance, you know, to see the two of them play together.
Yeah,
at some
that would be great.
Point, yeah. If you go back to this album, just made, did you maybe change any strategies as far as writing songs goes? Because earlier, I mean, I think I heard in an interview that you said that most of the songs sort of come out of you jamming together. How did you work on these new songs? Was it similar?
Well, yeah, it still always comes from just jamming, but I think that we've tried too hard, I think, to make our songs better than they are.
Yeah,
I think
just make a little more of them than we need to.
We write crappy rock songs, you know? It's like, it's not special. It's right. Just what
I'm
it
sure.
is.
If people would agree on that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, just it's like, it doesn't matter if you do the drums 7 times and make sure that they're perfect and like whatever, like, man, I messed up, but it sounds good. That one's even better, dude. Let's do that
one.
Yeah,
I think more just figuring out, like, hey, this is how we'll get the point across. Do you know what I mean? And not worrying too much about, you know.
So this is maybe capturing more the live aspect of Twig Bird.
I think it left a lot more room just for the energy of the song to be there, rather than say, okay, what are we gonna overdub here? What are we gonna, you know, extend? Just don't worry about it. You know, if the song ends in 2.5 minutes, that's it.
Because this was when I listened to your recorded music, and when I hear your, I haven't seen you play live, so I'm looking forward to it tonight. But I heard and saw some recordings of your live shows, and it seems, you know, there's a really this loose side to your music, you know, when you start improvising or when music just takes you in its own direction, while the Stronk are really well thought out and structured or albums. So this is probably what you were just talking about.
Yeah,
totally.
Can you tell us maybe, because we are coming to an end, we have to end it in like 3-4 minutes.
Okay.
Can you tell us something about, you know, your plans for the future? Obviously, the next 3 weeks you will be still on this current tour. Any plans for later this year?
We've got a West Coast tour coming up when we get home at the beginning of April, and then I think we're just gonna try to get another record made, you know, and hopefully out by next fall. So.
Nice.
Come do it again.
You know, people who attended the first 2 gigs you played here are spreading really positive things about it.
Awesome.
They were really enthusiastic. So can you tell us what can we expect tonight?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of us.
We don't even know.
Yeah,
depends on what happens when we get to the venue.
It's exciting and frustrating at the same time, but we don't really know what will happen.
But I got plenty of sleep last night, so that's good.
Nice. You mentioned in the beginning the last couple of shows you did here, a saxophone player was with you, and you said that now you're on tour with two guys. Are they part of the band?
Just helping out, you know, running
sound.
So
on the stage is just the two of you this time?
It's just two on stage tonight, last night someone in Italy joined us and played drums for a while, so I guess you never know. The night before, Ashton did a solo song on guitar, so you never know, I guess.
Well, definitely sounds like it should be an exciting gig tonight, so we're looking forward to it.
Primarily love songs, country songs.
Yeah, George Jones.
Excellent. So this is it. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Tole bi torej intervju z dvojcem Twig Bird. Kot ste slišali, nocoj nastopta sama. Njun koncert se začne ob 10:00. Predtem pa glasbo vrti torej Jahač plošč Bigor. Vse skupaj se zgodi po menzi pri koritu. Intervju sem pripravil Goran. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.